Good evening, everyone. It is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and we're fortunate enough to be involved with a deep study of the ABD guidebook by E.J. Gold. And I say fortunate because, and I probably shouldn't have even used the word deep study because we're probably not at that level yet, but we're certainly we're novices, but we're actually paying attention to it, and what a treat that is, that's all. And part of the treat for me is that I'm sitting here with Pat for the first time.
And Ivan.
And Ivan. Pat and I have been trying to do work on the ABD for 25 years now, and we have a chance now to do it, and we are doing it.
And that is just such a lovely opening for me to broadcast my own announcement, which is a week from Sunday night on the Patty Show, we will have, for the first time ever, hopefully not the only time, a collection of folks who have participated in the Washing Society. And so it will be all of the men who have done the Washing Society for the man, and the women who have recently done it for two of our community members who have died, and some who have died many years ago. So a week from Sunday is Palm Sunday, and it is March the 20th, and I'm broadcasting this loud and clear because it is something we haven't spent much time on, but as we get older, we're spending more time doing it, so we better address it more thoroughly. So that's the Patty Show.
That's on a Sunday evening.
Sunday night.
What time of the evening is that?
6:45 p.m. until 7:30.
Okay, so that's in about 10 days or so, 10, 11 days. We're going to have the Patty Show Sunday evening at 6:45, and some of the people who have been involved in the Washington Society will be there, and I know I'm one of them.
Yes, you are.
And if I make it, if I have 10 more days left in this cycle,
yes,
then I will be there at that event.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, except I'm often reminded of what, but I'm often reminded of what Don Juan says, as he said to Carlitos, as he's teaching him, he says, and you can be crushed like a bug at any moment. So I'm always looking for that big shoe in the sky.
Molly Midway is reminding me to remind folks that the Washing Society is the name of a talk of the month, which you can download. I did it myself just 10 days ago. Download on the website called TalkOfTheMonth.com.
Yeah,
and
so
it's a good one. It's really good if you can have read it before we have our meeting, because we won't be reading it during the meeting. There's going to be a lot of us who want to have things to
actually
say.
Actually, that's a good announcement to make. Well, you should make it at your show
again.
I will. But I strongly encourage everybody to get a copy of that and read it. It's not very long.
No.
But it's very concentrated. And if you put yourself in the position of doing that kind of work, there's some interesting things will occur, right?
So let me just ask, was that included in The Great Adventure, or was it not in there?
Do I remember?
Okay. Anybody have a copy of The Great Adventure?
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because without making too much of an announcement, of course, that would be my choice for the next.
Yeah, in The Great Adventure, one of the chapters is Washing Society, page 47.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, George.
George, do you have that?
Yeah, right here.
Yeah, see, he has it. Yeah. So, or you could be like George and have a copy of The Great Adventure, and then you could read The Washing Society in The Great Adventure.
That's right. It doesn't actually say. It comes from Talk of the Month, but I imagine this is exactly what it is. It does say that it was a talk arose from a demonstration by Mr. Gold in 1986 of the traditional way of preparing a body for burial.
Yep. Very good.
So, yeah, and we talked about that didn't I talk about that? Obviously I did, and the fish agreed.
The fish leaped forth.
I'm in the minority on that one. I think it's
No, it was clearly.
Aspect.
It was a nice, beautiful arc. I think we spoke about the experience with Blair.
We did here. Speak about it here.
And it was only me, but we're going to see if we can get Robert
and Dick.
If we can really get Dick, that would be a wonderful
I've
prize.
Mentioned it to him.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all of that is because two critical members of our society here, our community, have passed in the last 10 days. And these were individuals that were...
And they're doing great.
That were really a strong part of the community. They were intimately woven with our life here in every way that we can imagine. And they are both, as voyagers, doing well. And EJ has, in a sense, run into them
mm-hmm.
a number of times. Fascinating comments that he's made. Do you want to take a shot at that?
What I heard at the dinner table this evening was reported by B, who said that in the university, there was someone walking down the... When I used the word... In Bardotown, in the university, there was a figure walking down the steps, which initially was thought to maybe be Lily, who was the person who passed last Friday, but on second glance was Karen. And she looked as the individual looks on the photo card, which we have in the dining room, which I guess is the announcement of the memorial service.
Yeah.
And the further information was that she had learned to ring the chimes and was seen doing that and gave a wave.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And that's in Bardotown, which if you don't know what Bardotown is, that is a whole other subject we will have because it's greater than a one or two sentence thing. So remind us or write it into the chat log and say, what do you mean by Bardotown? What are you saying? And then we can reference that later.
Well, it'll come up again, and we should. It's important to bring that up.
And the other communication, in case you haven't heard it, because it's not necessarily the case that everyone who is participating with us is also linked through our email services, which you might consider doing, because I realized the other day that the message for the memorial service only came through our email Prosperity Path forum. So if you don't have yourself lined up that way, you might consider that. But the communication was that someone was speaking about Lily in reference to her passage, and EJ's comment was, at that time, this is like within the day of her passage, Lily's doing fine, you don't have to worry about that. And some further time later, the next day or so, the statement was made that Lily was not only doing fine, she didn't have guides assisting her, she was doing fine on her own. In fact, she was doing well enough to be able to aid others in transit. And the third communication on that subject was, unlike the Catholic Church, which requires at least 6 months after death before naming, Lily was, in our tradition, named Saint Lily, and you may call on her. And she is responding.
You gotta say it now.
We're watching Dan laugh.
And Grocky says, what do you mean by Bardotown?
Thank you.
Well, you know what it is. You know, Mark, we were the one we were going to ask about it was you. So we're really in trouble.
Why don't you tell us?
But actually, it's a good thing. That's something we should post quite a bit about.
Yeah, we do need to. We need to start from over here and go all the way over there. Go ahead.
Well, what's interesting is that tonight on Sci-Fi Radio Theater, we started the reading of Norton Street, the script.
Yeah.
Good.
It's a good script. Yeah, and Kay, if you're there and you have the ability to call in, it would be really nice to hear your voice.
Please do.
Particularly tonight, there's several people that have.
Okay.
Oh. Does she have the right phone number?
Well, she's come in before, so. Yeah.
Do you have it there?
Okay.
218-862-3987. And then you enter the code 291-472-POUND. Okay.
And isn't this the arrangement that we made was that it's all going to originate from over here?
Not this time. So.
I really love this book, too. You know, it's almost as good as the prior one.
Now they just get better and better.
Yeah.
So. This is a tome. Good. And Molly, you might want to consider taking a look at this particular book, okay? And it might be very useful for some of the things we're talking about now for you to read it this week. Do you have a copy?
I do. But
yeah. Yeah. And... I'm going to read the first opening two verses. We're going to discuss that for a bit, and then there's a sea of experience before us after that, and that's excellent. And you should take a look at it when you get a chance.
Sure.
So. So here is the 16th Book of the Dead called the Book of Ur-Basit. 1. I am he who takes the souls of individuals at the time of death and places these souls into bodies at the conception of life in the world of matter. 2. And I oppress the hearts by revealing to them how exalted and unconcerned I am about the conditions of the world of matter. And then I delight them by my wonderful gifts of kindness and beauty that I offer to them by bringing them closer to the Lord, who is the life of the world.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can.
You're the voice. Oh. You're the voice of clarity for us.
Oh, I couldn't hear you. My sound went off at that point. I am so sorry. I'm having some trouble with my phone tonight now too.
Can you hear me when I speak this? No.
I have you on speakerphone. let me, because it went off, let me try and see if this will work if I take you off.
Okay.
All right. Can you hear me?
Very
well. I hear you. Good.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We just read the opening two verses of Book 16 of the ABD Guidebook, the Book of the Dead called the Book of Ur Basit. And it was so stunning that none of us could move for a moment.
Well, apparently, I couldn't even get it. I'm so sorry. And I can't find my book. Can you believe this? This is quite a time.
Nope. I've been waiting for the occasion to read it again.
Yeah.
And since you didn't hear it, that gives me every justification.
Absolutely.
And oh, I'm so glad.
Gives me a chance then to listen.
The 16th book of the dead, called the Book of Ur Basit. 1. I am he who takes the souls of individuals at the time of death and places these souls into bodies at the conception of life in the world of matter. 2. And I oppress the hearts by revealing to them how exalted and unconcerned I am about the conditions of the world of matter. And then I delight them by my wonderful gifts of kindness and beauty that I offer to them by bringing them closer to the Lord, who is the life of the world.
But we're using the phone.
Well, you faded at the end, but it was just beautiful. What you read.
It's coming in.
It's amazing. I don't know what's going on. But I feel you.
Who takes the souls of individuals at the time of death and places these souls into bodies at the conception of life in the world of matter. And I oppress the hearts by revealing to them how exalted and unconcerned I am about the conditions of the world of matter. And then I delight them by my wonderful gifts of kindness and beauty that I offer to them by bringing them closer to the Lord, who is the life of the world.
I did hear it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Good to know.
Something occurred to me this time about these two phrases that I hadn't considered before when I've looked at this. I've always looked at the qualities. You know, the beauty and the oppression and the kindness. And this time what I noticed is that it's a cycle. So it takes the souls at the time of death. Uh-huh. And an element of time in the ABD is not the same as it is in other things. And then it places them into the conception of life in the world of matter. So it's a crossover between the transitional chamber, which is how it's occurring at the time of death, slipping out of the life time, and then putting it back in at the conception or the beginning of time. So this is a chamber which speaks to the placement of attention on the sequencing that appears to occur with time, death, and conception. It's the first time I've ever seen it in that way, is it's actually juxtapositioning these two procedures that Urbasit performs, which is taking the soul and placing the soul, both parts.
Well, those are great comments, and it reminds me very much of when Kelly was pregnant with Sarah, and during that time, Sarah hadn't been born yet, right?
Right.
So it was past conception, but hadn't come into the world of matter in a certain way.
Right.
She had in another way. And we were very active, certainly I was, we were very active in communicating to her in that state, to
mm-hmm.
Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
And during that period of time, it became so clear to me that this was a continuum.
Oh.
So, in other words, it some day after that, Sarah was born into the world of matter,
mm-hmm.
and later we would die and begin the cycle again. And she was in the end of that cycle,
mm-hmm.
about to start
mm-hmm.
this
mm-hmm.
cycle. And it was so tangible to me.
Yeah.
As to be, and this is when the Black ABD was being produced. What was the name of the publisher, Ivan?
Harper
Lee. I had gone down to San Francisco to pitch the book to them. Did you go with me, or was it, maybe it was Linda?
Mm-hmm.
Might have been Linda. But we
mm-hmm.
pitched, I remember my exposition to the publisher. It was quite interesting, and somehow it worked.
Mm-hmm. One other
mm-hmm.
aspect of this is it is naming qualities which we wouldn't necessarily
mm-hmm.
associate with the juxtaposition of a continuum or an attention to the time element. And it names those qualities as
mm-hmm.
oppressing the heart and delighting them. So it's like there's this, I don't know, there's more of a tangible substance-like quality describing this particular inhabitant of this chamber than I feel like we normally get, because
say that again, there's a what?
There's a quality of this particular inhabitant of
okay.
this chamber
yeah.
that's greater than what we normally get about the qualities of the inhabitant. I mean, we're really given a full dosage of what this Urbasit is interested in and what he is made of and what he does.
So when I was reading and I read this, I was moved by the power, the functionality of this entity or whatever that is, how do we describe it?
Yeah.
I was so moved by that. But then when I heard you read,
mm-hmm.
and this is important to be, allow yourself to be read to.
Yes.
So when you were reading to me, it struck me how utterly personal this was.
Oh, gosh.
It was like utterly, intimately personal. He's talking about me. He's talking about each individual soul, in a sense, being given a hand for this moment.
Exactly.
Literally. And it's so... That's what moved me this time, that I'd never seen before I heard you guys read.
There's something about where we are, and that's gonna come up again here in a minute.
Yeah.
Where we are in the macrodimensional sequence, where we are in the passage, where we are in the voyage, because when we last were visiting the 15th book, Ul Alim, it's very distinctively not naming now.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Every single sentence begins with and. Every single phrase begins with and.
Yeah.
And there is no now in 15 at all.
Yeah.
So it's almost nebulous, except for how specific it is about the eight violent female types.
Right. But in this particular book, and if we read to the end,
yeah,
you see we're in a very different place.
Totally different.
And I think that we're ready to read the next verse then.
Yes.
To let us know where we are. So here's this announcement from Mount Olympus.
Yeah.
You know, this announcement says, oh, I'm the guy that does this.
Right.
You need a carpenter. It's the work I do. Here's the work this fellow does.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it's descriptive.
And it's very specific that is a divine principle that comes to bear for those that have ears to hear. That's there for us. That's what I'm hearing lately.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see where we are. What's the context? Other than in our broader community, we understand the context is this is the gift that's come to us from Karen and Lily is saying, hey, look over here, guys. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Not only look, but listen. I forgot to mention that little one. I spoke with Bill DeGroote today, you know, our chocolatier, right? Truffles, Bill DeGroote. And I was saying, oh, you know, in Lily's passage and, you know, St. Lily. And he goes, ha, St. Lily, yeah, well, she showed up the next day. And I go, really? He says, yeah, we had this, you know, big Foothills celebration and all the chocolates were out there, you know, and they were handing out samples, gifting them, you know, little tiny little collections of samples. And he said, oh, yeah, because when Lily used to be sitting here, it would be, no, you can't change the sample. No, we're not going to give you another different kind. I go, right, I got it. That is true. Contrariness, strength, and apparently negative is a quality that was Lily's, and it was extremely apparent to Bill that the visitation was verbal. He heard her. So we've had visual, and we've had oral confirmation from St. Lily and our friend Karen.
And you'll observe different things as you were, different people that you've worked with that have passed away will stick with you in a certain manner.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, for me, it's been my sister, older sister Chris, and Mary Craigie. Chris, who I had far less contact with than Mary Craigie in the last 20 years of our life together, but very important for me. But Mary Craigie regularly,
well,
maybe better word. Yeah, go ahead.
You both of you triggered. I had forgotten, but
excuse me, when I was at, you know, there quite some time ago, the songs my dead mother sang me, I was typing that for some reason. I didn't type the whole thing, but I was typing it into the computer, and I was given the privilege for a short time. And that particular night, my mother had been ill and in the hospital for, you know, about a week or 2 weeks, and she'd been ill with cancer. She was, anyway, that night I was typing, and I got a phone call. And the prior to getting the phone call, I actually had a I would call it a vision, of a shooting star that fell from the sky. And right at that moment when it fell, I got the phone call that my mother had passed away. So it was like typing the book, songs my dead mother sang me, a shooting star, and my mother had passed away. So I think we all have, you know, our own particular events that occur in that way. And I know with Lily, that day I was really, my whole brain was really heavy, and you know, I could just feel her, just feel what was happening in a certain sense.
Good.
And anyway, I just wanted to share that. It's so true.
Great. It's very important. So, I don't know how to read these books, actually. I'm just learning, but it's like we're introduced into the lobby of this event, right?
Yes.
And in the lobby, there's just these beautiful things that this aspect of the Lord does. And then the book says, okay, now you know where you are. Let me get on with my work here. And then we might go very slowly here, so go ahead to verse 3,
mm-hmm.
if you would please.
3. Now, it has come to pass that you have come to the 13th and 14th days of the breaking up and reformation of the five primal elements of consciousness.
I was so moved when I read that earlier. Look how exacting that is.
It's
Look
perfect.
How specific. It's like saying to the Voyager, guess what? Here's where you are.
Yes. This is your place. Take note. Let me point out to you. Here you are.
You saw all this stuff with the bright lights and stuff from Urbaset, but that's cool. Here's where you are, you know? And I love this, how specific and generous the author is here, how kind to the Voyager. And anyway, I like that so much.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we'd pause on that verse alone before we run down this, wow, where we are.
Okay.
And Ivan, do you want to
pick up on 4?
Take a few.
4, 5, and 6, maybe?
4, 5, and 6.
Well,
you use your intuition.
You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Cool.
4. And on these days, the 4 female keepers of the doors of death and rebirth shall appear to you within the guide who is now before you and is yourself. 5. And they are the projections of your own consciousness. And there shall appear within the guide the form of the white prodding guide, and there shall also appear the form of the yellow pig-headed guide, and there shall appear to you the form of the red lioness guide, and there shall also appear the green snake guide. 6. Thus the 4 female keepers of the doors of death and rebirth shall appear to you within you and without you. And you must now recognize them as the forms of your own primal consciousness of the void.
That's the direction. It's a specific direction and instruction. And you must now recognize them. Anytime it's delivered like that, it gives you an exact place to place your attention and a formulation of how your attention should take in what is occurring. So the process is there's a description, specific and exact, and quite symbolic if we want to go there, of the four female gatekeepers. And your response must be to recognize them as your own primal consciousness of the void. That's it.
When I read that, I thought of the instruction, you know, that part of it. But also I thought, so if I was a Voyager sitting there and I got that instruction, I realized, oh, I can do that.
Yes.
I'm able to recognize.
Yes.
You see what I mean? It's like,
yes.
I might not have known I had that attribute.
Right. Yes. It is indicating what you may do and what you are capable of doing, and now is the time to do it. Do this.
It's like somebody, like, if you've ever gone to a great museum with some spectacular pieces of art, art is complex and difficult to look at. I mean, it's a really fine art. There's layer upon layer of meaning. And if you go there with somebody who's well-schooled, they'll go, now look at this. Do you notice how this, and suddenly the piece of art opens up and you go, wow.
Yeah.
In the morning, CJ's talking a lot about some of his prints that he has acquired over the years and that he's making available to the broader community. And he's mentioned a couple of times Rembrandt, two pieces by Rembrandt. One is the Saint Jerome. And another one is the White Negress. Mm-hmm. The Saint Jerome is a tremendous piece of work. If you look at it, the way he works with light, Rembrandt is unprecedented, I think, at that time of art history. But anyway, what I'm saying is that if you're with somebody who knows what they're doing, they will say to you, oh, look here.
Yeah, they direct your gaze.
Look here. Mm-hmm. And you go, oh, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
These are instructions that were given that we're able to do. And the reader is helping us, reminding us that we are Voyagers and we're able to do some of these things. That's the thing that's so wonderful for the reader to remember.
Well, it's the classic method of training or teaching, which is imitation, duplication, acknowledgement. So this is a form of encouragement, which basically is like, you know, when the child is starting to stand up on the legs, you know, and they're just getting those legs going, pretty soon they're going to be up on them, and you're there with them. Saying, yes, you can stand. Yes, that's it. Yes, go ahead. You're doing fine. It's not giving them the how-to. It's indicating the what is.
What is.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm learning from this particular book right now is the author is telling us, kind of just gently touching us on the shoulder, here's what is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the communication is so filled with compassion for the Voyager. When I read it, it's just, here's who you are. Look here.
Look
you know?
Here. Look here. Now, would you like to read all of those
things,
or some of those, or just start in
on
them?
Well, let's go ahead,
just
because
start in on
just
them.
The fact of doing it is so...
They're just so incredible.
Where are we now?
You're going to start with seven and go.
Seven, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a continuation of the reading of the 16th book of the dead called the book of Ur Vasit, and this is now verse 7. And there shall also appear to you another 30 female guides who have great power. And they shall take form before you and around you. 8. And there shall appear to you the blue wolf guide and the red crane guide and the black sow guide and the red crow guide, the giant female guide, and the green serpent guide. 9. And these 6 female guides shall take form before you and around you, and they shall be the forms of the primal elements of consciousness, of your own spiritual consciousness, and you shall not become afraid. Is Grati still around? We don't know if he's still there, okay. The imagery, you know, is in a lot, is Tibetan. A lot of it's Tibetan, you know, the black sow and the green serpent. I think I've met the green serpent, by the way. In a particular event. Anyway, just acknowledge it's there. That's all you can do. And
gotta have tax season every year.
Well, it wasn't during tax season, I guarantee you. But so anyway, the imagery is Tibetan. I was wondering if Rocky, who seems to know the Indian, if this rings a bell for him at all.
The formulations.
And this is the room's getting kind of crowded here, but I'm not keeping track. I should. But there's
there's 36 plus the original 4. So
there's
a whole
team of people there.
and
roosters and serpents and we're on 9 and there's 60 of these things to go.
Yeah, yeah.
So are you up next?
Oh, it would either be me or Ivan.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ten. And the 4 female guides of the door to the kingdom shall appear to you also. And there shall appear the black mystic female guide of the east. And there shall appear also the yellow goat guide of the south. And also there shall appear to you the calm guide of the mystic knowledge who is of the west. And there shall also appear the green and black serpent guide of the north. And these 4 female keepers of the doors of the kingdom shall appear to you from your own consciousness.
Go
for it.
I was just going to say, it also reminds me very much of the Indian culture of the Southwest. I don't know if any of you have been to any ceremonies or not, but it appears to me, I'd have to do some study, but it just struck me that it has so much symbolism of, of that, those cultures. And
The Hopi culture is up for me right now, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. Thank you for that. That's what I'm looking for, is just response, what comes up for you. And this is what came up for Kay. Thank you.
11. and there shall be more female guides emanating from your own consciousness in its primal form. They are the forms of your own beingness, and now you must recognize them as your own wells. And so you shall know the natures of the guides. And the peaceful guides are the passive emanations from the pure void. And they are the primordial, unshaped, tranquil elements of the spiritual consciousness. But the violent guides emanate from the active principle of the world-forming actions of the lights of reality, as they create the illusion of the world of matter. And so the violent guides are the formation of the world of matter from pure spirit, and which remains in spirit, for there is none beside him. He who is the Lord, pure spirit, forever and ever. And I just can't go past that without a few things. First, the gatekeepers, when they're first mentioned in verse 4,
right.
And on these days the four female keepers of the doors of death and rebirth, and then the description of verse 6, the four female keepers of the doors of death and rebirth, and then after we've named them, we say verse 10, the four female guides of the door to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 12, it's naming the violent guides and the peaceful guides as emanations from the void. That's a huge
yeah.
transition. It's like everything all in four or five sentences. Whoops. Okay, and he who is Lord, pure spirit forever and ever. My jaw drops.
But the violent guides emanate from the active principle of the world forming actions of the lights of reality.
World forming actions
of the lights of reality.
Yep.
So when you think about that, that's like kind of a definition of what violent guides is. Also,
it is a definition.
It's a definition of that process of bringing something into matter.
Well, it is the logic of spirit. How does spirit make form?
And in this, in a certain way, if you think about it, and we've all been in that space of like, let's just say, kind of a pure consciousness, a higher space.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think of then this entity forming matter within
mm-hmm.
there,
mm-hmm.
there's a form of violence to that.
That's true.
A disruptive method, right?
There has to be. Otherwise, it would stay what it was.
But somebody's going to do that job. Somebody has to do that job, and those guys are called, that
the
crew.
The violent guys.
They're hired on. They go, oh, it's our turn.
Well, yeah, it's active. Isn't it? I mean, the equation is active equals violent.
Yeah.
The active principle. But also, doesn't it strike you that this, in the formulation of this guide of the 16th book, going back to the second verse, I oppress the hearts by revealing to them how exalted and unconcerned I am about the conditions of the world of matter, which is what's formed by those emanations from the lights of reality and so on. And then I delight them by my wonderful gifts of kindness and beauty that I offer to them by bringing them closer to the Lord, who is the life of the world. And, you know, in doing this reading, it's striking me that the heart is only going to be oppressed if it's attached to this lesser, to the material or the matter. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the blessing and the kindness has to do with the recognition of the spiritual realm, you know, of the spiritual action of the Lord and of these primal elements of consciousness and so on. So it strikes me that you're, in a way, you're looking at one after another, all of these sets of guides and emanations and so on are part of the gifts of kindness and beauty that this guide is offering. It seems as long as you're not stuck, as long as you're not, what do you call it, attached to that, to the other view, which is that from the point of view, you know, the material world, which this guide sees as the opposite of, what does it say, exalted? Well, anyway, it's not exalted, and it's something the guide is unconcerned about.
Go ahead, Kay.
Well, it keeps coming to me through this is out of myself the world was made. So basically, regardless of if it's the exalted guides or the you know, violent guides, it's all part of the same. It's the same action coming from the same source, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Or different actions coming from the same source.
Yeah, that's it. Sorry, a little dyslexic there. Yes.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty much what came to me.
So what Kay is naming is what is known as I Ransom Keep, which goes, there was nothing with which to make the world, out of myself the world was made. I Ransom Keep.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm so glad we have shared memory. You remembered
me too.
Yes, go ahead. I Ransom Keep.
Yes, that's really all that I wanted to say. Thank you, Pat.
Yes. Yeah, you're welcome.
Grocky has responded that he's not familiar with any correlations at the moment, although in the Divine Mother chant there are all sorts of descriptions of different gods and goddesses and various other spiritual beings. So.
Going back to the... In the Native American, I mean, you know, the one that I was most familiar with in the in Arizona, in the Yaqui cosmology, they talk about the flower world. So there's this realm where the deer dancer and the other ritual enactors, ritual performers,
invocants,
are entering into this flower world, which is where the animal spirits dwell. So they encounter there the hummingbird, you know, the deer, the spirit of the deer, but also the hummingbird, the snake, all of them in it. Yeah, in there.
Thank you, Ivan.
And just to recall for us that the last formulation says, and so the violent guards are the formation of the world of matter from pure spirit,
mm-hmm.
and which remains in spirit. So sometimes we think of the formation of the world as like not the same as spirit because it's made out of matter.
Right.
But it remains in spirit, for there is none beside him, he who is the Lord, pure spirit forever and ever. So the reference to the Lord as pure spirit forever remaining ties back for me to that initial statement about how I am he who takes the souls
mm-hmm.
of individuals at the time of death and places these souls into bodies at the conception of life in the world of matter. So what isn't said in that particular verse is said here, which is, and it is a formation from spirit into matter, so from the conception into death and from the time of death into the conception. So
right.
It's doing that arc.
It's a cyclical.
Yes. Yeah, you're
Well, I'm just how present this is. It's you. I guess that's working with this over and over and over again. There's just a reality that's dawning on me. It seems so tangible
mm-hmm.
in a certain way,
mm-hmm.
partly because of Lily and
yes.
Karen, but it's so tangible, these elements that are being discussed of matter arising out of the movement of spirit and being met by these teams of guides that are going to come forward.
Yeah.
And we're getting toward the end of this particular one. We're going to continue with this book for at least another week or two. But take the time to read book 16, and it's not bad to do it all in one sitting.
Mm-hmm.
Read it in one sitting, which we're not able to do here in the class because of the time constraint. But you get a cycle when you read through the entire thing.
Sure.
And you come to the very end. I won't go there right now, but there's a couple of paragraphs or verses that I've underlined that we'll get into that are going to, once again, show us this clear instruction from EJ about what to do.
Yes.
Very clear. And it's with that clarity that we'll take those habits into our everyday life over and over again.
Bingo.
And that's what we want to do. Sometimes, because none of us, at least I can speak for myself, are smart enough to get this, but upon repetition over and over again, I see it seeping into my everyday life, I think.
Yeah, well, this book is tremendously clear about the value of the meditation on the reality of the clear light of the void and the primal elements of consciousness on during your life, during your everyday life.
It's a long book, and it's a challenge to the attention to read it because you're not reading something that is entertaining you. You're reading something that's giving you serious instruction. How long do you think it would take to read the entire thing, Ivan? What did you take today?
Well, I read it. I think you could read it in about 15 or 20 minutes.
15 or 20
minutes. Yeah, I sat down and read straight through it. I had started it before. And got interrupted. But I read it.
20 minutes that you have, go into a little bit of a quiet area, read it through, and yes, it's important to grasp the material, but more importantly, as Pat was saying, how does it affect, what do you feel like now? Where are you? What's the effect on you?
Yeah. And you actually have the opportunity to read it aloud for yourself or another, because hearing is not the same as reading. Hearing and reading are both aspects. And that reminded me of the other thing I was going to say. There's a quality to this type of material being pondered without judgment, i.e., don't assume you need to know.
That's
you
right.
You don't need to know. You don't need to understand. What you need to do is read it or hear it. That's what's required.
Yeah.
And that practice where you suspend your judgment of yourself and how you do or don't get something, and you just give yourself the opportunity of hearing it from your own voice, or hearing it from another, or delivering it to another. Because that practice is one that goes a different place than reading it silently to yourself.
I was, for some reason, which none of us will ever understand, I certainly don't, is I'm reading a book on linguistics right now. And in the book, Noam Chomsky, who's the great innovator of linguistics, talks about language. That's his thing. And the difference between language that is spoken and that is heard. So that's what Pat's telling us right now. We have 11 people online right now, and there's half a dozen people here. You have an opportunity to read this material, one, to yourself, to read it out loud. Then you have the opportunity to read to another and to be read to. Those are, you ask, what is spiritual practice? That is spiritual practice. Those events are practices on the spiritual path, and it's things you can do that are so utterly simple as to defy the human mind.
Good thing.
Really. Hopefully.
That's what we'd like. We'd like to defy that human mind.
So we'll look forward. Thank you all for coming. We'll look forward to
David?
Yes. Okay.
I just would like to also suggest that people read the map before they read that particular chapter.
Yep. That
would
be very helpful.
We briefly looked at that last, just a few pages, and thank you for reminding us of that, and I'll incorporate that into my cycle.
Thank you also. It was great, guys. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, George, and I think that did this ring a couple of bells?
Absolutely. It's a wonderful exercise to go through, and happily not by myself alone, but together with you and all the others.
Thank you.
Yes.
And your presence is a delightful to know you're there and to feel you there, quite frankly.
Yeah, I actually was leaning towards you quite a bit this evening, so thanks for the support.
Yeah. So thanks, everybody, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Wednesday at 7 o'clock.
Good night.
Good night.